Skeletor and Liberace decided to have sex and have a baby, and they had the golden bat.
A perfect world.
These are for you.
Thanks, honey. They're beautiful.
A perfect life.
I would do anything for my girl.
I love you, Lisa.
I love you, Johnny.
He provides for you. Darling, you can't support yourself.
I don't love him anymore. He didn't get his promotion. And he got drunk last night. And he hit me.
It's not true. No, did not hit her.
Well, maybe you should have the girl, Mark. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I have one already. I don't know yet.
We can't do this anymore. Johnny's my best friend. This will be our secret.
Don't worry. You can trust me.
Who are you expecting?
I'm your future husband.
You sure about that?
Please talk to me, please.
You're having an affair with Lisa, aren't you?
I need more from life than what Johnny can give me.
She's a sociopath. She can't love anyone.
There is no baby. I told him that to make it interesting.
She's such a manipulative wench.
You're hurting yourself. You're hurting our friendship.
I treat you like a princess, and you stab me in the back. You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Hey, Danny.
Where's my money, Danny?
Put the gun down.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Shut up.
Oh, hey! Stop it off of this world!
The Room, a film with the passion of Tennessee Williams, directed by Tommy Wiseau. The best movie of the year. Experience this quirky new black comedy. It's a riot.
Hey everyone, welcome to the next installment of the Super Podcast. I am your host, Super Marcy, and with me as always is the one, the only, the terrible Australian, Bede. Hello, Bede.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Just all pumped and ready for today's show, which I assume will be pretty awesome for a lot of reasons.
It should be awesome for all the awfully good reasons.
Of course.
See what I did there?
I saw what you did there, Marcy.
Yeah.
And I think our guests saw what you did there too.
I think so. Should we just jump right in there and introduce our guest?
Of course.
Because I think he's going to need to be in on the whole segment we've got for you.
Yep.
So please welcome, finally, after like a billion years in the making, please welcome Jason Adams to the Super Podcast.
Yay!
Yay! Hello!
Oh, hi, Jason.
I have no idea what you're referencing there.
No, I'm sure you wouldn't have any idea.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks for, like, finally jumping on the podcast.
I don't know what happened before. There was I think there was sickness, like everything that stopped me from being here, but I'm here now, so.
Yay, it's finally happened. It's almost like, I can't believe it.
I have, like, built anticipation, so when I got here, you know, you guys just couldn't stand to be in the presence of
I have, like, the Home Alone face, because I'm so shocked. You know what I'm talking about, the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, well, you should know, you are Kevin McAllister, Bede.
Indeed, I am the real-life personification of Kevin McAllister. I literally, when I was a kid, had to protect my home from burglars by setting up traps all over the place.
Yeah, because when you were a kid, you used to tell your mum that your name was Kevin and not Bede. Just in case anybody didn't understand what the hell we're talking about.
I know.
That was the subject of conversation for a podcast.
I know, just go back to, I think, was it the movies we watched from our childhood episode? You can hear that entire story in its fullness.
Yeah, I think so. That was when we sang the Bed Intruder song. Wow. The wackiness we get up to on this show. All right. Now that we've introduced Jason, we'll do the segment we forgot to do last podcast. Bede,
yes.
Why are you a terrible Australian this week?
Marcy, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Battlefield Earth.
I'm just shaking my head.
Why?
That,
on purpose.
That would definitely make you terrible.
Indeed. That, this movie was a piece of shit, Marcy.
Yeah, that movie just makes, I don't know, anybody who had anything to do with it just terrible.
Marcy, this movie has what I like to call an epic glass-shattering scene.
Epic glass shattering.
Yeah, because there's a scene where Barry Pepper goes through, like, a sheet of glass, and it's shot so dramatically, and it's shot from every single angle.
It goes on for, like, 5 minutes, too.
It does. It goes on for 5 minutes. And I was absolutely amazed that he taught the humans how to fly, teach them how to fly a fighter jet within a week.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Like, why is Barry Pepper in that movie?
And why does, like, John Travolta got, like, all the dreadlocks and looking like a really, a steroid-bound Klingon?
Yeah, really, and, oh, God, what was, oh, I don't even want to know, like, I don't want to venture into Scientology at all. I actually saw the other week a Scientology van, and I lost it. It was just parked. It didn't say, it just said, like, Dianetics with all these books by Ron L. Hubbard, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Oh.
Was Battlefield Earth among them, Marty?
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have, like, a big picture of, like, Tom Cruise and John Travolta on the other side of the van.
They should just have the picture of John Travolta from Battlefield Earth.
That would attract everybody.
They could just, like, oh, God, I don't even want to go there. They have the Scientologists out in the city every Sunday, and there's, like, a big Scientology center in the city, and I'm just like, is our city really, like, that sort of area for Scientology? I have no idea.
Indeed.
That, it's bizarre. Yeah, freaks me out.
But Marcy, but the movie itself is probably more terrifying than this. I know, I was shit scared while I was watching this movie.
I'm sure you were.
Marcy, there were so many, like, Dutch angles in this movie. I don't think they even actually kept the camera, like, non-tilted throughout the entire movie.
So what is up with that? Is it like, oh, we're, like, tilted?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know.
It's, like,
bizarre.
Tilted, like, throughout the whole thing.
Now, but, Jason, have you done that movie for your awfully good feature?
I have done that movie. It's, that was probably one of the most excruciating ones I've had to sit through. I'm trying to think what I said about it. All I remember is that I said, I think I said John Travolta looked like a she-male E.T. because he did.
That's true.
And then there was the part with the cow where he shoots the cow. Yeah, no, just terrible with all the Gene Simmons tongue and all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes. What is up with that? Someone has a tongue fetish.
Yeah, it's because Kelly Preston's in the movie too, Marcy, and all her acting in the movie is, like, showing off her really long tongue.
Yeah, I remember, like, when that movie was ready to come out, and I think, I can't remember what it was, on, like, Entertainment Tonight or something, they were doing specials, and they were, like, behind the scenes, and he's like, oh, yeah, we gave it this really long tongue, like, yeah. That was the worst George Travolta impression ever.
And he really, scary. Like, hams it up to the ninth degree in this movie, Marcy. Like, even more so than in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the pinnacle of his over-the-top acting. And, of course, like, if you watch, like, the Nostalgia Critic episode of that movie, pretty much he's, like, the dumbest alien ever because he's basically giving these humans the technology they need to beat them.
Oh,
then they go and use the spider jets. They're, like, 1,000 years old and still somehow work.
Yeah, they're able to fly them within, like, a few days of never.
Yeah, that totally happens, like, all the time. I, like, went to an alien planet the other week and I learned how to fly their ships in, like, 2 seconds.
I know.
Yeah, they still have gas in them after millennia.
Yeah, there's, like, no plot hole or inconsistency at all with that.
Indeed.
All right, I have got to ask, because we're just going to, like, basically grill Jason the whole time. I need to, like, discuss this movie because I don't really know anybody else that has seen it. And I was completely obsessed with it when I saw it. I really just want to get it out there, Jim Carter, and go talk about
Jim
it now.
Jim Carter, yes.
Is it not the greatest
movie
ever?
You don't
know
anybody else has seen that? It's like a classic.
Bean hasn't seen it. He's seen everything Ooh. Terrible. So
I
didn't
have a chance to see it yet.
I did send it to you.
Yeah, you did, but I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
It is the greatest movie to, like, merge gymnastics and martial arts.
My favorite part is you can tell that when they're making this movie, they really thought they were onto something. Like, it was going to spawn, like, a whole new genre of, like, gymnastics and karate. Because they build it up so much. It's like, he's the only man that can do this. And then it's just, It's just like complete fail on their parts.
What I love is, you know how like I think it's like when he goes into the city and suddenly like all of these things are set up to be like gymnastics equipment.
There was like a, what do you call it? One of the, I forget, but it's, it even has handles on it. Like,
yes. And, like, put it himself up. And he could like do his like gymnastics on there. And then like, I don't know, in like the last third, it suddenly becomes like this like really weird kind of, I don't know what the hell you'd call it. It just turns into something else completely. It's like, what the hell? And that the guy, what I forgot his name.
Kurt Thomas, the main guy.
Yeah. He's like the best actor ever. Like, I don't understand how he didn't have like the biggest movie career of all time.
He already utilized all his skills. I mean, he only had gymnastics and karate to offer. And I don't think there was any more.
It was more the gymnastics because the karate just wasn't that great. He had to like.
There's so much male camel toe. I'm not sure what the correct terminology is for that, but like it was just all like cock and balls.
It's true. I can't believe that this movie actually exists. I think it was like one of the greatest days ever when I discovered Jim Carter, and it has been a movie that has been mentioned on this podcast since the very early days.
Really?
Yes.
Well, then I'm in good company.
Yeah. We love some Jim Carter, except Beat has to, like, watch it, finally.
I will, man.
You're missing out on gymnastics.
I know. A gymnast who can be a ninja as well. How's that? I need to see this right away.
And when he's fighting with his gymnastic skills, he's connecting with the person he's trying to hit maybe, like, 30% of the time. I feel like he's kind of like just swinging his leg in their general direction, and they're just like flying.
They just like fly back. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
like words don't really describe the brilliance of it. I mean, it's like because we compare everything that we watch, if it's like an awfully good bad movie, we compare everything to No Retreat, No Surrender,
which I have not seen,
which you haven't seen. However, Jim Carter is like. They're on, I don't know, I think No Retreat, No Surrender is better, but Jim Carter just has this whole league of its own thing going on.
Yeah,
because in, not that I want to spoil No Retreat, No Surrender because you haven't seen it,
right.
But it has, if you watch the proper, like, fully uncut version, it probably has the greatest, like, bromance ever. Nothing compares to what the two main characters in this movie share.
Exactly.
Even Showdown in Little Tokyo. Have you seen Showdown in Little Tokyo?
Yeah, it's worse than that.
It's really? Even more epic than that.
It's more.
He actually references the size of his penis.
There's actual grinding in this movie.
There's actually gay sex. That's what makes it a bro.
It might as well be. It's supposed to be. Let's put it into context. They do something, and it's supposed to be in the workout montage. So and it involves eating ice cream.
Say no more. I heard working out and eating ice cream.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know, somehow you need to see this movie, like the proper version.
Yes, if you do, buy the longer version, not the original version.
Yeah, the longer version is epic. It's
with more working out and even more ice cream.
Exactly. I don't know, like, what they were thinking. Like, let's do a training montage with eating ice cream and doing some grinding. it's not as bad as, like, maybe it is. It's the martial arts movie of Freddy's Revenge. Put it that way. That's the way to describe it.
Wow, so it is pretty gay.
It really is. I don't even, like, it's hard to explain. It's so awesome. You just have to experience No Retreat, No Surrender.
I know. This movie changed my life after I watched it.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, I think it was one day when I was sick, and I was like, you know, I haven't seen, like, this very first Van Damme movie. I'm going to put it in. And I, like, halfway through, I'm like, oh, my God, why haven't I ever seen this movie? This is the best movie ever made. I'm going to watch it every day for the rest of my life. That's the kind of impact it had on me.
Wow. Well, don't hype it up too much, you know.
Yeah. I'll try not to. Just you know.
Does he do the splits on two chairs?
No. Van Damme does the splits on the...
on two guys. That's a...
That might have been in, like, the X-rated version. What do you call it? He does it in the ring, on the ropes. He does the splits.
I think he does, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's like he crosses his arms, and it's like the one shot they always show in the movie. And, like, they promote Van Damme, and he's, like, in it for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's only in it at the beginning and at the end, and despite they put his face on all the DVD covers.
Yeah, and he's got, like, top billing. Oh, yeah, I should also mention that the dad in this movie is possibly the greatest actor ever.
Indeed. I felt his pain at one certain moment.
It's the best scene in the whole movie. Anyway, we should not talk about that because Jason hasn't seen it.
Indeed.
I'm going to.
I think we've convinced you to watch it. Bede, is there something that you want to ask Jason? is there one movie that you really want to talk about with Jason?
I want to talk about the epicness that is for, I don't think Jason has seen it, but I think after this podcast, he'll want to see it. And that, of course, is The Golden Bat.
Marcy's been talking about this movie for like 2 years.
It is like the most epic superhero movie of all time.
It's, there's no way to like even describe this movie. It's like as if Skeletor and Liberace decided to have sex and have a baby, and they had the Golden Bat, because that's what he looks like. Bede's been obsessed about this movie. He forced me to watch it at gunpoint. Well, not really, but, you know, he was like, you have to watch this movie. It is the most bizarre superhero-esque movie I've ever seen. And what is, like... Why is Sonny Chiba in this movie?
Sonny Chiba's in the movie, and he doesn't get to kick any ass in it. It's just weird.
And then there's, like, this weird thing in it. Oh, I forgot what it was. Like, this weird dude in a suit or something. Oh. I can't remember what it was.
It looks like a squirrel mascot for an American football team. He's got, like, six eyes, and he has a claw that the claw from Inspector Gadget would envy.
It's bizarre. And, like, the Golden Bat has his own theme song that he sings and he rocks out to.
He does. He, like, rocks out in silhouette at the beginning of the movie, and he, like, does his own rendition of Vogue.
I don't know why this movie, like, isn't the most well-known movie ever.
I only heard about it from hearing it on another podcast, and I thought, this sounds interesting, and I watched it, and it totally blew my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those movies that you can easily become obsessed with.
It is. Like there's no one scene, Marcy, where a kid gets bitch-slapped. I mean, not like a little slap, it's like a full-on bam!
And what about, like, the thing with that laser? It, like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because they want to use the laser to, I think, was it to blow up Earth?
Something stupid.
No, they wanted to use the laser to bring a planet towards Earth. So it's like, this movie's kind of like a precursor for that upcoming Lars von Trier movie, Melancholia.
Oh my gosh. The Golden Bat. All right. We need to, like, after we get off the podcast, we'll have to, like, send Jason these movies because he can't, like, live another minute without watching them.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm physically hurting right now. I want to see this movie. is it a Japanese movie or an Asian movie? Because there's funny people in it.
Japanese.
Yeah, but a 1960s Japanese superhero movie.
With Liberace Skeletor-looking thing.
Oh, I'm writing all this stuff down so I can steal it all for my write-up eventually.
It would be the best write-up ever.
And Marcy, there's like the bag on the ship in this movie looks like a screw.
It does. not like two people doing it sort of screw, like, but the other like a... screw.
Aw, well that...
And I like that the only, like there's like I guess like a white actor in the movie. And he has, like, the thickest Japanese accent of all time. He was clearly badly dubbed over.
I mean, this is the kind of movie that sets the standard for, you know, these sort of movies.
Yeah. Like, if you've seen, like, the MST3K episodes of, like, Princess Space or, I think, Invasion of the Neptune Men, you'll know what to expect with this movie.
Invasion of the Neptune Men. Gotcha. All right, enough of the Golden Bat, even though you can never have enough of it. I want to know, what was your absolute favorite movie that you've done the awfully good on? Like, if you have a favorite. Oh, come on. There's going to be one that's, like, just very special.
It's like asking me to have children and then pick which child.
Yeah, which child do you like the best? It's like Sophie's Choice. It's your Sophie's Choice, man. Well, if you can't...
Except two, it's, like, multiple ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love Troll 2, and I know you guys like that, too, so we can... you probably talked about that a lot already.
We could never get enough of Troll.
There's never enough of Troll 2, because that's, like, a way of life. I
think our fans of the show expect us to talk about this movie on every episode.
One of my favorite days of my life was, I think, the dad from that movie and the son, the one that made... that movie, the documentary.
Best Worst Movie.
They're Best Worst Movie. They were on the Arrow in the Head podcast, yes. And they mentioned me and my column to those guys.
Yeah. And you died a little inside.
No days left after that until I watched The Golden Bat.
yeah, that'll, like, be more epic. We're obsessed with... we're obsessed with Troll 2, and we did, like, our first commentary was on Troll 2, and... Some of the people in Troll 2 actually got wind of what we were doing and they wanted to listen to it. And I think we were, like, really insane on it. I'm like, wow, I really hope they didn't end up listening to it.
Oh, they still happen to be. Yeah, I think they're still friends with us on Facebook. So I guess.
Actually, I talked to Credence Lenore quite often. I've become friends with the Troll Queen.
Wow.
Or the Goblin Queen, whichever one you want to call it. Have you actually seen the documentary?
I have not. No, I have not seen it.
Oh, it's so amazing. There's one scene, which I think is just the best thing ever. I think they were doing a screening and they sort of got just about everybody there, and the director, Claudio Fragrasso, is there. And he's doesn't speak English at all very well. He reminds me of my dad, because my dad's English is, like, the way that this guy's is. And somebody in the audience asks him, why is it called Troll 2 without any trolls? And he did not understand the question, even when his wife translated the question.
I think that explains why the movie turned out the way it did.
That just, it makes everything just make sense. Like, why... The performances are so awesome. Oh my god.
And we have, like, great lines like, you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
What are you going to do to me, Daddy?
Coffee? We don't have coffee here. It's the devil's drink.
And even for Bede's birthday or Christmas, was it birthday or Christmas?
It
was your birthday. I made Bede a Troll 2 t-shirt and... What? And George Hardy himself, who's on the t-shirt, actually liked it.
Wow.
That's an accomplishment. If he has the seal of approval, I'm happy. And in the photo, Bede was actually doing the, like, piss on hospitality pose.
My best.
I thought you should take over my column. You've accomplished so much.
Totally. Bede's insane.
Indeed.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, Troll 2. What about, obviously, The Room? Because that's, like, the most talked about bad movie ever.
You'll
tell
me apart, sir.
Did you hear about the live performance they did?
Did read your column, and I saw your video, and I just died, over how he sort of ended that performance.
You can't even imagine how bad it was.
Oh, my God.
How awfully good it was. It was, it was one of those things where he's still... Seeing it in person is completely different, because he still doesn't get why people love it so much. Like, he really thinks that they still like him. So he'll come out there, and he's just, like, all smiles. And even afterward, he was like, thank you so much for supporting me and loving what I do.
Yeah, it's like, we love what you do.
Yeah.
That must be so weird. I'm so jealous that he actually saw it live.
Oh, it was great. And guy that played Greg was there. It was just amazing.
Yeah, doesn't he do the rounds with him or something?
Yeah. And that guy totally gets totally gets why that movie is so beloved. And he was, like, hamming it up and kind of winking at the audience during certain points. Meanwhile, Tommy Wiseau was just like acting his heart out and giving it 100%.
Yeah, his tantrum that I saw of the video, oh my god, it's even more sort of like, I don't care than in the movie. He's just like runs around knocking things over.
Yeah, and then people started yelling like, hump the dress, hump the dress. And he actually had sex with the dress on stage in front of everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, it was special.
Wow. Yeah, what do we do before these movies? Like, seriously.
Well, I was the one who, I think, introduced you to both Troll 2 and The Room, Marty.
You did. I think it was our very first podcast where we actually ended up doing top fives of our favourite, like, awfully good, bad movies. And all you guys had seen The Room and I hadn't seen it. And then, like, I went out and I had to go see it. I guess you're all doing like, oh, hi, how was your sex life, huh?
Which we'd say to all that kids.
Yeah,
I have a poster signed by Tommy Wiseau that says, hey, Jason, how was your sex life?
Can I steal it?
I brought it home. My girlfriend was like, "What? Why did that person sign that poster?" he was just curious, you know.
He just wants to know how everyone's sex life is. I mean, yeah. Bede thinks he's Tommy Wiseau, and he started asking people that, but I think kind of backfired.
Some of the people I asked have never been on the show since.
Oh, Bede.
Yes.
You're so hilarious.
But I find the character of Denny hilarious. I just like to watch you guys.
I just like to watch you guys. I'm obsessed with Denny. Oh, Denny. Why did he do drugs?
I like the mother. The mother always cracked me up. I had the breast cancer.
No, it's the way she says it, and it's never brought up again. I have the results of the test back. I definitely am a dumbass.
And it's like, the daughter's like, not even like upset or shocked. She's just like, you know.
But Johnny's like, no.
You're not my fucking mother.
Oh, The Room.
Wait, can I say the best part about the live performance was that they expanded on certain parts, and one of them was the mother character.
Oh, really?
And, they gave her her own romantic interest in the stage play.
Oh, no.
It was this random smooth-talking black guy that came in, and I don't even know, like, I forget what his character was, but he literally, like, walked in, was talking to somebody, and then the mother walks in, and the next thing you know, like, they're dating and referencing, like, their sex life and stuff. She only has, like, a year left to live, right? Why are you doing this?
Oh, my God, that's so insane. Cool. Oh, I want to see the awesomeness of this live performance. Wow. Oh. I'm just like, well, so what the hell is Nude on the Moon? Out of randomly, I've just looked at your thing and I've seen, like, Nude on the Moon. What the hell is that?
If there was a movie that you could literally get the plot of by the title, it's that one. It's
okay.
It's these two astronauts that go to the moon and they find it. It's just packed with naked women.
Wow.
And it's not a porn because it was made in like the 50s or 60s. It's literally them like taking a camera around and documenting all, like almost like in a scientific way, what the aliens are doing on the moon, and that includes like playing in a waterfall. Playing ball, it's like tossing a ball back and forth, and there's naked women doing all these activities.
So it's like one of those nudist type of movies.
Yeah, from like I don't want to say the 60s.
Yeah, when, you know, you couldn't really show that stuff in mainstream
right
type of thing. Yeah. Wow, that sounds amazing.
And I just remember the costumes from that movie, like the astronaut costumes were, I think it was a precursor to Judge Dredd, because it was like a these like breastplates, like a helmet that you couldn't see through. It was amazing.
Wow, that sounds pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Now, what I know that the purpose of your column is, you know, really bad movies that are kind of hilarious. But what would be one that really just tested you and you just wanted to basically like shove your head down the toilet after you watched it?
There was one I did recently. There's been a few. Oh, Big Mama's House 3 I did recently. I didn't want to talk about that one. That was so bad. Oh, I have a good one. The Love Guru, the Mike Myers movie. Have you seen that?
No.
I have.
I think that was one of your awful picks, by the way. I mean, one of your terrible picks.
I don't know why. There was one week where, like, all these people started... Can I get recommendations from people? Just, like, they email me movies they think I should cover. And I got, like, five or six, like, in one day. And I don't know if it's because it started showing, like, on HBO or if one guy just had all his friends send it to me to make it think that this was, like, an amazing movie I have to watch. And so I rented it, and it was just... It was like everything that you kind of hate about like how what the Austin Powers movies turned into is like in that movie.
It was
so bad. The end of the film is actually I think it was elephants having sex. And you have to watch.
Ew. Why would
The catharsis of the Love Guru is elephants fucking.
They should have just called it elephant fucking.
Yeah.
Elephant loving.
I don't understand why he was in it.
I don't understand why any of the actors were in it. That's just...
wow.
And Justin Timberlake plays the porn star that has a giant penis. and is French-Canadian. That's all his character is.
Wow.
That was probably one of the worst I've had to sit through.
Yeah,
there have been a few, but that one was...
I guess that's the downside of like asking for recommendations.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? You want that one?
Yeah, some of them turn out... Some of them sound really fun, but they're... I feel like a lot of them, like, they're fun for 5 minutes, but it's hard to sustain, like, an hour and a half of a bad movie. It takes a special to really make it.
Well, I'll give you the guarantee, my Marcy stamp of approval. No Retreat, No Surrender, and The Golden Bat are definitely awesome, because I think I've shown No Retreat, No Surrender to a lot of people, and nobody has come back and said that they hated it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have actually sat with friends and watched it, and they could not handle how awesome it was. I mean, I think one movie marathon one day was Freddy's Revenge, No Retreat, No Surrender, Showgirls, and the Batman and Robin riff tracks.
Ooh.
So that was, like, a really awesome day. And I think we fit in Best Worst Movie in there somewhere. So that was, like, a really good day. Have you actually done Freddy's Revenge?
I have. Is it the second one?
The gay one.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. I love that movie.
The one where he has, like, the game of Probe in his closet.
What the hell is Probe?
There's something inside of me.
And you want to sleep with me? Oh, God.
One of my favorite things, because I watched Freddy's Revenge the first time with a mate a few years ago, because they had like a back-to-back session of the first three Nightmare films, and we just could not stop laughing every time that Jesse screamed. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
He screamed like a girl.
Yeah, there's a reason why Mark Patton is now known as, like, the first male scream queen. It's amazing.
I also love the dancing scene where he's got the brush in his hand.
Oh, my God. That is my favorite thing ever. I always just want to do that dance.
He's singing slash, like, filleting the brush.
Oh.
Completely heterosexual.
And the song is like this. It doesn't make any sense.
And then was it like the gym teacher just getting pounded by balls?
Yes. And then he gets whipped naked against the wall.
And then the barricade blows up.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I was gonna say, doesn't he find the gym teacher like in an S&M? Like,
yes. He runs into like this gay S&M bar. Yeah, this movie's totally weird. Yeah, it's like, there's nothing weird going on here whatsoever. Oh, that movie's classic. I think they're the best sort of bad movies because their intention isn't to be bad. They just end up that way. I think when they intend to be bad, they don't work as well.
Well, I've heard Robert Englund talk about that movie before, and he's still like, I have no idea why people don't like that movie. I think it's a good movie.
Yeah, he's all like, oh, you know, it's this psychological thing with the you know, the sexuality and this and that. And I'm like, well, when he says it like that.
Yeah, but, you know, he also liked The Final Nightmare, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing that annoys me about Never Sleep Again, the documentary, is that they all talk about Freddy's dead like it's a good movie. No, it's not. Wow.
I'm just looking at this list of your...
Oh, my God, you've done The Sinful Dwarf? I mean, you've done. I mean, you...
So you haven't seen The Sinful Dwarf?
I've had it for a while. I haven't actually gotten around to watching it.
That's the one where the... it's like some weird European movie, but it's the one where the dwarf looks like Jack Black and kidnaps women and tortures them.
Yes. That's what I thought, that he looked like Jack Black.
He looks exactly like Jack Black. I mean, if you can find my article on the DVD clinic and click on it, you'll see the first picture. It's a dwarf that looks like Jack Black.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Wow. There's one movie here, Marcy. I think our friend of the show Matches would love it. It's called Midgets Versus Mascots.
Oh, he does love that movie.
That's the one I did in tribute to Gary Coleman when he died. Because that was his last movie.
Yes, I remember those guys talked about that. Yeah, Gary Coleman. Oh my gosh, I don't want to say anything now.
Yeah.
Have you seen, this is another one from Matches, The Crippled Masters?
Yes, I did that one not too long ago. You
did that one? Oh my god. I've seen bits of it. Amazing. But is it like, they just do all weird stuff, like, and it's crazy.
Well, they have no... This way, the guy with no no arms and the guy with no legs, and they're sitting there trying to figure out how to fight people, and they like rig up the system where he wears the guy with no arms wears the guy with the no legs on his back like a backpack, and they just kind of like tag team people, and it's amazing.
I need to watch this one. Is it a bad movie or is it just so bizarre? It's awesome.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's a bad movie necessarily. It's like pretty much like a standard martial arts movie, except that the guy is like handicapped.
That's crazy. I sort of watched bits of it and I couldn't believe what they were doing. It's like,
no, it's a full movie too, and there's like plot and stuff. I mean, yeah, as much as you can with that. But yeah, no, they take it pretty seriously, which is amazing. My girlfriend's pretty good about like watching things with me no matter what it is. But I think that was one where she's like, I can't be in the room for this. Too weird.
Yeah, I think with the stuff that you would have to watch, I mean, you'd have to have somebody who you could sort of tolerate a little bit, because otherwise it'd be like, oh my god.
I think her main limit is, can I fall asleep during it? If I can't, if there's like people fighting, then I need to leave.
It's funny. I don't know, I was going to ask you about something else, now I can't even remember what it was. Do you have specific favorite like genres, like, you know, martial arts or creature features? Like, do you have ones that are like stand out more because they're just that crazy?
I feel like I could do sci-fi and horror movies all day long, just because there's so many. I feel like there's out of that genre, there's like a majority of them can be awfully good. Especially when you get like the Sci-Fi Channel originals, stuff like that. Actually, I've been kind of trying to look into more cartoons lately. I don't know if you saw the one I did. It was the Chuck Norris cartoon from the 80s. It was called Karate Command.
I had to find that, like, that show after I read that review, because it looked hysterical.
That one's amazing. I've been looking for more bad cartoons now, because I just find them amusing.
That would be a really good, like, sort of untapped thing to get into.
You gotta do, Rambo, The Force of Freedom.
Yeah, there's so many horrible Hanna-Barbera cartoons out there, apparently.
It would probably sort of not be the best sort of thing to do, but a lot of their, like, religious-themed ones that they'd always play when I was a kid on, like, Easter or Christmas, I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah.
They're, like, hilariously, like, it's like, what the hell sort of message is this? They're like, oh. If you can track those down, they would definitely be something, like, crazy.
I'll try that.
Yeah.
I think the most popular...
Sorry.
I think the most popular ones I do are the, I think are the nostalgic ones from, like, my childhood. Like, ones that we loved as kids, but are horrible, like Suburban Commando. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I saw that when I was really, really young.
Don't remember. Yeah.
It's got Hulk Hogan.
Alien movie. That's very special. There's all kinds of movies that I like. I'll remember them from when I was a kid, and then watch them now, and they're just unbelievably god awful.
So. Yeah, it's like when I've watched the Super Mario Brothers. When I grow up, and I'm like, I used to love this movie. Why?
Well, you can still love it because it has Dennis Hopper in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's enjoyable on a whole different level. As a kid, it was like, oh my god, it's so awesome! It's Super Mario.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Street Fighter. I don't know. Like, I was obsessed with like these movies, and I watch them now. I'm like, what the fuck?
Have you seen the new Street Fighter movie, the latest one?
Unfortunately, we have. Yeah. I think we even talked about it on the last podcast because Neil McDonough was in Captain America.
The other good thing about that movie was Chris Klein.
He was
brilliant in that movie.
I think somebody said or compared it to like a performance of like Samurai Cop, which I mentioned before we started recording. Like he could be the Samurai Cop or something.
I could see that.
I think Chris Klein is amazing. He was channeling Clint Eastwood in that movie, so that's amazing. You've just inherited yourself a big problem.
If Clint Eastwood was like a retarded narcissist, then yes, he was channeling Clint Eastwood.
Nash out!
Oh my god. Oh, Chris Klein. And now he's like trying to make a semi-comeback with Wilfred.
No, yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious. I was going to mention, because, you know, with the sort of sci-fi or creature feature movies that they're just bringing out all the time, I tried to watch Sharktopus and I hated it. I could not even enjoy that on It's So Bad It's Hilarious because I just thought it was terrible. Like, what did you think of that? Okay. I watched
so many of those like sci-fi channel movies. They're all usually like just wretched that I don't know, I thought that one was better than most of them. I feel like they spent more money on that one.
I couldn't, like, enjoy any of it because I just wanted to punch something.
Was it Eric Roberts? Was that why?
I love Eric Roberts. He was the only thing that I liked in this movie. I was like, watching Sharktopus is like getting told you're going to get an awesome birthday present and instead somebody just comes in with like a whole plate of crap. That's how I compared watching Sharktopus. Although another one I think you would have definitely had it on your thing because I remember like seeing it on there, but and Bede sort of had gotten me onto it, but I kind of watched Birdemic as like, you know, I guess it's like the Room version of
a killer animal movie.
You know what? That was one that was hard for me to get through. I'm sorry to say it, but that one was like, I'm still not convinced the guy didn't make that movie like bad on purpose. Like
I don't know how.
I got to the point of that movie. I was just like, I can't take this anymore. It's this guy trying too hard.
It's really difficult like to watch, but when the birds come on screen.
Yeah.
About 45 minutes into
the movie. Oh my god, and why the fuck have they got coat hangers? That makes no sense.
You know what my favourite line of that movie was? The Eagles killed Becky!
But they're just sitting, like, they're just there. It's like, you know, I could have done a better job on frickin' paint to create these birds.
I'm pretty sure they actually use a Super Nintendo to render it.
So. Oh my gosh.
The bird attack scenes are hilarious. It's like these birds, they're not even like, their wings are hardly flapping and people are like, oh no! Yeah.
Or like,
and
why
they
is
make the same sound over and over.
But it doesn't make any sense. Like, why is this girl, like, she's a Victoria's Secret model. It's like, what is she like, you know, Victoria's Secret, the like 5 cent version?
Yeah.
It's just like...
And they have the creepiest romance ever in that
movie. Oh, it is so wrong. Yeah.
They're making a sequel, too. I'm kind of scared to watch it.
Yeah, I think it's coming out soon. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember we sort of were like, why is there a Birdemic 2 kind of thing? Oh, that's
but I feel like that.
Freaky.
I feel like the guy watched The Room and was like, I can do this myself and make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I guess he has made millions of dollars.
Freaking Birdemic. Now
they're making a 3D sequel.
Of The Room.
Oh, no, Birdemic.
Birdemic. Oh, Zendaya 3D.
You're kidding. Are you being serious about the 3D?
Yeah, I am being serious. It's coming out this year, apparently.
That's disturbing.
I hope the only things that are 3D in that movie are the birds, and everything else is just regular 2D. So once every 45
they
minutes.
They should give you coat hangers in the cinema so you can, like, do the coat hangers. Oh, my God. And, all right, what is Kindergarten Ninja that I've just
read? It's a prequel to Kindergarten Cop.
Is it like Michael Dudikoff was like, I've been an American ninja, now I want to be a kindergarten ninja.
All right, I want to talk about Kindergarten Ninja. My day job, and I'm not watching shitty movies, I work at a news station in Washington, D.C., and I sit right next to our sports department. And one day, the whole sports department, all they were talking about was this movie, Kindergarten Ninja, because apparently they found out that one of the guys that owns the Washington Redskins, a football team here, for some reason, he was in this really, really shitty movie when he was younger, for no reason, called Kindergarten Ninja. It's actually a movie that was funded by, the DARE program, the anti-drug mothers, you know, for children program. Uh-huh. So it's like this, it's about this football player that is, like, he's defending children from drug dealers. And he's, like, going, it's hard to describe. He's visited by the ghost of, I want to say, Bruce Lee or one of those old karate stars. And the guy trains, the ghost trains him. And then,
oh, my God, they ripped off No Retreat, No Surrender.
Really?
Yeah, the imaginary Bruce Lee or ghost of Bruce Lee trains the main guy in No Retreat, No Surrender.
No, so he gets trained by the ghost and then he goes around cleaning up the streets.
Wow. This sounds like it could be the actual real sequel to No Retreat, No Surrender.
Or it could be like setting up for the Avengers by having characters set the same world or something, Marcy.
Yeah, they could, like, have this big movie where, like, the ghost of Bruce Lee just had trained all these different people.
And he's going to, like, bring them all together for one epic battle against one bad guy.
Something like that. Have you seen martial arts movies are all African, though. King of the Kickboxers?
No, I have not.
Oh, see, that's another one that you should do.
I'm adding it to the list.
Yeah. I mean, while I love it, it is kind of... Oh, and it's called... Because No Retreat, No Surrender spawned, like, 5 or 4 movies with that title. But they're not actual sequels. They're, like, Troll 2 type of sequels, where they're not really sequels. They just have that title. The other really awesome one is Blood Brothers, a.k.a. No Retreat, No Surrender 3. It has the most amazing grieving scene ever. Like, at the beginning of the movie, the dad character gets killed, and the two sons, like, see him dead, and the reaction of Keith Vitale is amazing. He sees the dad, and he, like, I can't even describe it. It's like, it's like, oh, my God, only, like, grieving.
Is there, like, a No Retreat, No Surrender, like, multi-pack I can buy so I can watch all of them?
They have it here, but I don't know if they sell it anywhere else.
I'll have to look for it.
I can't even describe it because it's so awesome. And then there's always...
I just remember my favorite part about Kindergarten Ninja, if I can go back real quick, is that there's these scenes where they're doing slow motion in the fights, except they couldn't afford to actually, get a camera that could do slow motion, so they're literally just moving really slowly. Punching each other in the face.
That's amazing.
There's a clip on my column of that. But yeah, you can just see him, like, very slowly moving his arm while everything else in the background is moving normal speed.
I'm going to track down this movie. I have to watch it. All right. We're going to have to go into this next territory that I have to ask you about. And we've all since become professionals on this subject. Unfortunately. I'll say his name, Uwe Boll. Now I'm going to go there because, for my column, like my third column of dissecting the director, and Arrow said, all right, you have to do Uwe Boll. So for 2 weeks, or it was a week and a half even, I watched Uwe Boll movie.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know how I survived. I don't know what it is about this guy, but he's bizarre. Now, I know you sort of have him on the meter for your column, but what movies of his did you actually do of his?
I think I've only done Postal so far. Postal. I've seen the House of the Dead, the first one, but I don't want to support him, so I've kind of avoided. I think I've seen bits and pieces of some of his other movies, but I've kind of tried to avoid it.
House of the Dead.
House of the Dead.
Fuck, I hate that movie.
So bad.
I declared that his worst movie.
I think Alone in the Dark is really his worst movie.
Which one?
That Alone in the Dark, because that movie made no sense whatsoever.
The one with Christian Slater.
Yeah, but it was Christian Slater. I was like, I still like totally crush on Christian Slater when I was a kid.
Yeah, but House of the Dead was like more hilariously bad.
No, it wasn't funny. It was just, I was literally 10 minutes in, I was hitting my head against the wall.
Should Alone in the Dark actually have segments where they were playing Sega on screen?
Yeah, this cuts to bits of the game. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That's why it's hilarious.
It's like,
he doesn't understand what an adaptation is. I'll just show video games on screen.
Yeah, and he adapts video games that are like a billion years old. It's like, what the fudge? Postal was a video game, wasn't it? It was. Yeah. I remember playing Postal, the video game.
That movie,
I think in the game, I've given zero stars too. But I don't know, like in the game, I think Gary Coleman was actually in the game and they put him in the movie or something because of that. I don't remember. Is it Postal or is it something else?
It must have been something. I don't remember him being in the movie.
I think he was in the game.
Vern Troyer was in the Postal. So they might have upgraded midgets.
I'm terribly sorry to all midgets that are getting brought up. I don't know, maybe it was, might not have been Postal, could have been something else, but, oh my god, I don't, like, yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else about Uwe Boll. Did you see?
You watched all of his movies?
Gary Coleman was in the game. Anyway, I had to,
I've seen a lot of people recently try and start to defend him. I don't know if his movies are getting better,
yeah.
I've seen more than one person that I know and trust been like, I didn't mind his last movie. I thought it was okay. And I'm just like, fuck you. No, there's no way.
It is like, it is true. I don't know if it's just so much shit that eventually it starts to look good or what it is. Uh-huh. But his last couple, not including like Blood Rain 3, The Third Reich, or Blubberella, or whatever that Auschwitz, none of that, with like Rampage or the other one, they're better because he sort of has a story and a purpose. They're still not the greatest, but at least he was kind of getting there. But then he sort of is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do Blubberella and this other crap. And it's like, why are you taking steps backward when you've just taken steps forward?
Right.
It's frustrating because, you know, I don't necessarily like the guy, but my write-up wasn't negative. Or like overly negative, saying, oh my god, Uwe Boll is the devil. I'm just like, this guy is a crazy bastard. He's hilarious to like listen to or just watch. His films are really shit, but you know, without him, there would be no source of like, you know, somebody just rag on all the time.
That's true. There would be no zero score on my columns.
So exactly. It was funny because I got comments being like, you know, all positive comments being like, oh, wow, it's nice to see your column that just doesn't totally trash Uwe Boll. It's like, people actually like him. But I don't know if he had to do another one of his.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know what you could do because you would have to actually suffer through it.
Well, Bede said Alone in the Dark was funny, so maybe...
Oh, no, that was the worst one.
Oh, no,
House of the Dead,
but I don't know, I wouldn't want to subject you to that.
In the Name of the King was pretty hilariously bad.
Jason Statham, right?
Yeah, and for some bizarre reason, it has epic shoveling. And like, for some bizarre reason, in a battle scene, ninjas show up.
Because you always need ninjas.
And Burt Reynolds has the best, like, death scene ever. He's just like, okay, are you gonna die yet? Nah, he's still going. 10 minutes later, nah, he's not dead yet. And Matthew Lillard, for some bizarre reason, did the movie as well.
Yeah, he gets like the weirdest cast.
Doing like his worst Captain Jack Sparrow impression.
Although,
you tell me there's a movie with Jason Statham, Burt Reynolds, and Matthew Lillard?
Yes. Albert and Ray Liotta.
Oh, Ray Liotta, I was gonna say. He's in that as well.
Ray Liotta is hilariously bad in that movie.
And another really stupid, retarded one is Far Cry.
Yeah, yeah,
with Far Till Cry. Schreiber. Oh my god. It's like, what the hell? And for some reason, he always has, like, the same people, like Clint Howard. It's like, surely your brother works enough to give you actual work.
And actual good movies.
You know, or it's got, you know, Michael Paré. And Michael Paré is actually a decent actor. And it's like, why the hell are you always
Michael
in these?
Michael Paré's been, like, in 20 Uwe Boll movies.
Oh, and, fuck, that guy that I totally love. Oh, I forgot his name. Ralph Moeller. He was in, I think he was in, like, this, can't remember, it was a TV show that looks really bad. I've got to look him up now. But he was, like, the really big guy in Universal Soldier.
I also think the first Blood Ray was hilariously bad, only because, like, Billy Zane has, like, the worst wig of all time.
Oh, my God, that movie just... Ralph Moeller, there we go.
He I like how this turned into you guys from us trashing Uwe Boll to you guys trying to convince me to watch all these movies.
Oh, you don't have to.
So, you don't have to. I'm just like giving you like.
Oh, that's I remembered what it was. The Conan TV series starring Ralph Moeller. He was in. Have you ever seen the Best of the Best movies?
When I was a kid, though.
Yeah, he was in Best of the Best 2 as Brack as the bad guy. I'm going to send you this TV show. Hold on. There's another one that you could, you know, would perfectly fit in. Best of the Best Part 2.
Okay.
It's like Las Vegas. they pick up with the characters of, like, Eric Roberts again, and the other guy in it, Philip Ray, yeah. And they go to Vegas, and there's, like, death matches. Like, they try to make money with these death matches. Oh my god, it's amazing. And Chris Penn is in it, and he somehow, even though he's like really huge, he can somehow manage to do like martial arts.
Huh.
It's kind of crazy. Although I think if you're looking for a TV series, this Conan TV series would work. I was gonna ask, have you like seen the American Ninja movies or those kinds?
I have seen, I own American Ninja, and I've been waiting, because I want to do all the American Ninjas, like, in a row, almost. And I need to map out, like, a 6-week block where I can do all the...
They would be perfect. I mean, the first one's actually really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is still silly, because it's like, why the fuck are there ninjas?
Yeah.
But then they just get progressively bad.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the third one was kind of hilariously bad because it has a scene where Steve James, who was in, I think, the first two, like the sidekick, and like he fights these ninjas. Like at one moment he has a sword and it like splits apart into two swords, which is kind of awesome. And he kicks these ninjas. He stabs one and the ninja's still standing up and he just goes, "Die!" and it just falls over.
And I think the last one, like, it's called...
There's one other scene in this movie I just found so bizarre. There's a scene where there's some evil scientists are, like, developing serum. And there's, like, these statues of these guys in G-strings.
The room.
And they're not actual statues. They're just guys with, like, really bad skin. And I'm like, gee, what the fuck is...
It's like
they don't serve the movie. They don't serve the plot at all. They're just there for
no reason.
They're
just there. But in the fifth one, which actually has nothing to do with the other ones, it has Mr. Miyagi in it.
Ooh,
and it was the first movie of... Ernie Rice Jr., the guy from Surf Ninjas or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was his very first movie. And it's just like, it's randomly, Mr. Miyagi's going to randomly show up. They're really awesome.
Is Michael Dudikoff still on the fifth one or no?
No, it's the other guy. I forgot his name, Steve Bradley. But he doesn't play the same character. It's just randomly, like, you know, again, it's like Troll 2, but, you know, it's not connected.
How many American ninjas are there?
There's 5 under that title. See, this is the awesome thing, like, the best thing you could ever do. You could do, like, a whole block of American Ninja, And then you could do a whole block of No Retreat, No Surrender, but somehow we'd have to get you those movies. You would just, like, die happy. Or you could do, like, the ninja series. Like, I don't know if you've done them before, but, like, Enter the Ninja and Revenge of the Ninja and then Ninja 3, The Domination. Oh, yeah.
Ninja 3, The Domination is hilarious. I describe it as Flashdance meets The Exorcist with ninjas.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, oh.
That sounds better than
And the main male guy in the movie has, like, the hairiest back of all time. Like, seriously, it was like, it was like a Robin Williams hairy.
Like how you compare it to Robin Williams. But it's called Ninja 3 for no reason, because there's, like, no 2, no 1, it's just Ninja 3. At least...
Exactly.
At least when you've got
the martial artist you keep
Shokasagi.
Yeah, he's only in it for like 15 minutes, and he's like has his name like first build.
Yeah,
he shows up the last 15 minutes for no reason.
Yeah, he's actually like such a badass, awesome dude. Like I would watch anything that he's in, and he does like Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, Ninja 3, The Domination, and his most recent like comeback was in Ninja Assassin. As the bad guy, sort of, whatever the fuck he was. He's, and another really good one, I'm just, like, giving you suggestions now. Black Eagle with Shokasagi and Jean-Claude Van Damme as the bad guy.
Oh, see? When was that from?
89, 88, I think. it's epic. But yeah, there we go. We've just given you like all these awesome suggestions.
Well, you know what? My 200th column is coming up in a few weeks. So, what would you guys suggest be the number 200?
If there was some way that we could get, you know, Retreat No Surrender, I would die happy.
Me too.
I can acquire it in some fashion.
Yeah. Ask anonymous movie guy.
Yeah.
He'll provide.
There's one movie on here, Jason, I do want to talk to you about, but I don't think we should say too much about it because I want Marcy to fully experience it on her own.
Okay.
That is Hard Rock Zombies.
Yeah.
That movie, like, is insane. Literally every 5 minutes I was like, what the fuck?
You know, I can't even describe it. That's the one with the Nazis, right?
Yeah, amongst other things.
I did three like rock and roll horror movies in a row. There was like Rock and Roll Nightmare, Hard Rock Zombies, and there's another one I can't remember. But it's hard for me to keep track of which one was which. But if it's the one with the Nazis, that one is pretty incredible, and it also has like the best poster of all time.
It does.
Yeah.
So I've actually got a copy of this movie. I'm sending it to Marcy, so that's why I didn't want to say too much, because I want her to fully experience this movie once she watches it.
And yeah.
The same with, House.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to do a double bill with Horsa.
House was insane as well.
Yeah, the House is literally insane.
Yeah, it is. That movie has a scene where a character gets attacked by pieces of wood. And she karate chops them from left to right, and afterwards she's like, oh, that's weird. It must have been my imagination.
Wow.
And then a severed head bites a girl on the bum for some reason.
Yeah.
What? I'm just looking at this list. What the heck is Killer Tomatoes Eat France?
You know, the attack of Steal the Commandos.
But why are they eating France?
I didn't
know there was like another one. I knew of Attack of and Return of, but not They Eat France. What?
Eat France is the fourth one. That was where it got so bad.
Oh my god!
Even those movies. It's got. Did you ever see what's that show with Michael J. Fox, Family Ties?
Yeah.
It's got the guy that played Skippy on that show. He's the main.
Wow.
The main character of that movie. That's who they went from George Clooney in the second one to Skippy from Family Ties.
Skippy. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And by this time, the tomatoes actually have faces and they talk.
Oh my gosh. Oh, have you like done, not, when I say done, I don't mean like you're actually fucking them. Obviously. I mean, right. Have you like watched and done the Ghoulies?
No, I have not.
I have this weird thing. I have not done a column on them. I don't know why I had this massive thing about the Ghoulies, because they're on the toilet in the on the covers and then like not in the toilet in the movie. It was annoying. I haven't seen like Ghoulies Go to College, which looks awesome, by the way.
Matthew Lillard was in that movie.
I think you should just do a Matthew Lillard special.
With the Name of the King and Ghoulies Go to College.
Ghoulies Go to College. Why would they go to college? They're ghoulies. But why are they in the toilet?
I just found something here when we were talking about Ninja 3, The Domination. Do you know the director of that you know what film he directed after that film?
No.
Breaking 2, Electric Bugaloo.
No way!
And he also, and guess what he directed after that?
What?
American Ninja.
This has been the most epic, like,
and guess what he directed before Ninja 3? Revenge of the Ninja.
This man is a fucking genius.
Thank God.
Oh my gosh. It's like finding out that the director of No Retreat, No Surrender directed The Transporter. I mean, I hope that was the right one.
Yeah, it was. He did direct The Transporter like 16 years later.
Yeah, Corey Yun, I think. That's crazy, man. Oh my god. There's like, I would say, he also directed Dead or Alive. Martial arts movies are probably like the best area that you can like find stuff because they're amazing. I like.
The first movie I ever did for my column was Breathing Fire. Have you seen that?
No.
That's, it's got Short Round from the Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom.
And
what's his name? Bolo. We're all familiar with Bolo Young.
Mm-hmm.
It's I can't even describe it. It's
amazing. Oh, you just mentioned Bolo Young, and I'm like, oh my god, you should do Shooter Fighter or whatever it's called.
Oh, somebody has recommended that to me. I will check that out.
Oh, but it's got.
You have to watch Breathing Fire because Breathing Fire is amazing.
Yeah, cool. Because I like some Bolo Young. I think it's called Shoot Fighter, Fight to the Death. And it's got Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid in it.
Yeah.
And it's got my favorite, Martin Coop. It's really kind of awesome. I remember, like, hiring the VHS when I was, like, a kid. And I thought it was the best movie ever. I was like, oh my god, this is, like, cool fighting death movie. And then I watched it again recently and I'm like, wow. This is awesome for the wrong reasons. So cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to look up this breathing fire. Breather. Oh, you sent it. Awesome.
It has a midget fight. It has it has what I call dance painting. They're painting and dancing at the same time. and it has Bolo. I feel like that's all you need to know.
I am completely sold. It looks amazing. Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Bolo Young was like awesome.
He's like 50 years old in this movie.
Oh, that's so cool. Actually, I'll send you, hold on. King of the Kick Boxes. I can't even spell boxes. It came out to King of the Kick Bixes. That's not right.
That's another movie.
King of the Kickboxers stars Billy Blanks as the bad guy. And if you remember, Billy Blanks invented Taibo,
the
kickboxing like exercise. This movie's legendary. I'll just send you the link. This is something Bede hasn't watched yet for whatever reason. I'm positive I've sent it to him like 100 times. Yeah, it's amazing. This has been like the podcast of recommendations for really awesome movies.
I have an amazing list now. This is great.
Yeah, you can't complain. You don't have anything to write about now. Although I'm still like sort of looking at all the stuff you've done. Like Ninja Cheerleaders? What the hell is that?
That was with George Takei from Star Trek. He played like a ninja. He was like a pimp of these strippers that moonlighted as ninjas.
I do sort of remember like seeing this review, but wow. It's like in the middle of like Uwe Boll and Bruce Campbell. But you've got Bruce Campbell on there. What movies did you do with Bruce Campbell?
I don't think I've done a Bruce Campbell movie yet.
He's just there for being Bruce Campbell.
I just love him so much. He's like the, he's just what I aspire to.
Yeah.
When I started doing this column, like it was based on like what me and my friends did in college, me and my roommates, and my roommate and I were just obsessed with Bruce Campbell, so of course he was the one they all suggested be the...
I think we've all had the Bruce Campbell obsession.
Yeah.
I think when I found his book, like when his first book came out, I was like in the bookstore jumping up and down, like screaming that it came out, and everyone was like looking at me, and I'm like, I'm just going to go over there. Because he's the man.
He is the man.
If he
he does have some movies I can do for this column. I just haven't done any yet.
Yeah, I think you could do My Name. Is it My Name is Bruce? Or they call me Bruce or something? Yeah. That looks like...
I feel bad because he put so much of his soul...
But you could, like... You could be kind, but, you know...
Yeah.
Put a good spin on it. Because, I mean... You know, if we're doing, like, a commentary, we absolutely love the movies, and we do say some really silly things, but, you know, it's all in, you know, good loving of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure about Masters of the Universe, but that was...
You love that movie.
I do, but that ended up becoming, let's just make fun of a certain person for the whole thing.
Like another certain person.
yeah. Have you done that one, Master of the Universe?
No, I haven't.
See, there you go.
Adding it to the list.
Have you done Superman 4?
4? No.
3?
No, I'm not done any of the Superman movies. Yeah, I think I might save them until the new one comes out.
Yeah, you could. I mean, 3 and 4, definitely.
Yeah, 4 especially. 4 is worse.
Just don't do anything to Supergirl if you haven't already.
Okay.
That's my beloved movie.
Aw. I thought that was Showgirls.
That is as well. You actually, it took you a while to do that one, but you finally did it.
I did Showgirls.
I think I jumped up and down when you did. It's like my number one obsession. I getting it on Blu-ray, and it's just like a million times trashier on Blu-ray.
I think they probably deliberately did that.
It's like the makeup looks even more hoary. It's like
all the ass sweat, all that stuff. Yeah.
You can see everything. It's like you could already see like up their twats. In the normal version, this version, you can like really see what's there.
Oh, there's one. Here's one movie that I don't think's on your list, Jason. I think Marcy would be happy if you did a review on this movie, Cool as Ice.
Oh, no!
No, they just added it to Netflix Instant, so that will be coming soon.
Remember,
it's not available on DVD or anything, but I've been looking for that.
Marcy, just remember, you gotta drop that zero.
And get with the hero! Oh my god, Vanilla Ice, he just haunts me.
Because you had a dream about him.
I had the most disturbing dream, and I've talked about it on like countless podcasts. Even on Geek Chicks, and Nikki had to bring it up. It's like, I don't want to talk about Vanilla Ice.
Have you seen the, I don't know if you've heard of the new show he does, like his new career?
Yeah, do you know, this is what happened, basically. I think I watched a video that had Cool as Ice. I think it was a Nostalgia Critic review that I was showing somebody because they wanted to see it. That night I had a disturbing face-licking dream with Vanilla Ice. Not like 2-3 days later, all day they showed the freaking commercials for his new show. I'm like, Vanilla Ice, fuck off. Oh my god. It's like... Oh, it's disturbing.
Oh, I kind of want Vanilla Ice to build me a house, though. I think that'd be pretty cool.
You can do it while he's singing Ice, Ice, yeah. Baby. You can, like, put it like a sign on the door that says drop the zero and get with the hero. Although, strangely enough, the guy that is the zero in the movie, he was Superboy in the Superboy TV series. The same guy.
Irony.
It's so weird. Wow. This has been a very awfully awesome podcast.
Well, you can always do, like, a review of probably one of the worst movies ever, the Garbage Pail Kids movie. That was totally disturbing. I really was scared.
Why would anybody want to watch Garbage Pail Kids?
Because it's a curiosity, man.
What's disturbing about it?
The kids themselves.
The Garbage Pail Kids.
Seriously, I was, like, grossed out by them.
Oh, it's fucking disgusting. Although, you could always, like, venture into, oh, this would be kind of gross. they're, like, really strange kind of, like, sexy movies that aren't exactly sexy at all.
Like Troll 2?
No, like, this movie here, I'm going to send you a link. It's just got two chicks in their underwear with guns. It looks awesome. Or have you seen...
I've done some movies like that, yeah.
Have you seen the Turkish rip-off movies?
Like the Spider-Man, Superman, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like Turkish Rambo. Rampage.
I have some friends that are Indian, and I've done a lot of, like, Bollywood movies that are pretty awful.
Turkish, like Turkish Exorcist and Turkish Rambo. If you can find those, wow, you'll never be the same again. Or Turkish Superman.
I want to see the Bollywood Reservoir Dogs.
I want to see Bollywood Old Boy that exists.
Yes, that would be interesting. But
like singing, fighting with a hammer.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Like anything that they've done, like Turkish something, it's unbelievable. Oh man, Turkish Superman. It's just like you wouldn't. It doesn't feel real. Like you watch it and you can't believe it. And you know, in the movie when Superman he hits someone, he's like a meter away, or so you say feet, like 3 feet away, and he hits him, and the guy falls over. Like he's nowhere near him to hit him, and he falls over. It's amazing.
Oh, Marcy, I got one movie. Definitely, I might have to. It's a bit hard to find this one, but I did send it to Marcy. Remember when I talked about on another show, Marcy, Ninja Kids?
Ninja Kids.
Oh, wait, yeah. Ninja Kids Phantom Force.
Wait, is that different than Pocket Ninjas?
I don't know. Unless it's a different name, but it's about these kids who go to this, like, they follow these girls they like to a Bible camp. And then they get lost in the jungle, and they wound up in this land where they get chased by a giant, and then he meets this old guy who gives him ninja powers. And then there's an amazing sequence where they beat the shit out of, I guess, Amazonian pygmies. Which doesn't make sense, because they're in, I think it was in, what is it, Thailand or something?
Yeah, is it like it's a Philippines movie, I think. Yeah, I just looked it up.
And it's... And it's, like, it's dubbed and everything, so it's got, like, thick American accents and rockin' 80s soundtrack.
Which one's, like, Pocket Ninjas?
Pocket Ninjas is the one where it's the kids, they're like mini ninjas on rollerblades.
That sounds awesome.
It's got Robert Zadar. It's one of the worst movies ever made. It might actually be in the top three on the IMDb.
Oh, wow. Movies.
I can't even describe some of the things in this movie. Like, I remember the last fight is like almost like a video game fight, and like just like very like an old school video game, like where it's just like very stiff, like punches and stuff.
Well, I just learned this. which is just, it's actually been released. Takeshi Miike has done a Ninja Kids movie. It's just called Ninja Kids with three exclamation marks at the end.
So they must have, might be a remake.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the only, like, ninja movie, like, kids ninja movies that I ever knew of was the Three Ninjas series.
Yeah.
Which I was obsessed with when I was a kid. And when I watch it now, I'm like, wow. Really?
That was another nostalgic one I did. I did that one in, I think, the fourth ninja movie. Where,
that is terrible.
Hulk Hogan.
The Hulk Hogan. Oh, my God. It's so bad. I hated it because I was like, you got rid of, like, the original kids and they're, like, way younger. Because I used to love watching the old, like, the original Three Ninjas, Kick Back and Knuckle Up, I think they were.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard of Kickboxing Academy? It's another...
My friend has wanted me to watch it, and I think I watched some of it. It was, like, really hilarious. It's like Karate Kid ripoff or something.
Did you hear the most disturbing part about that movie?
You have to tell me. What is it?
It is the fact that the... I mean, they're kids and stuff. So it's like a puppy love kind of romance. But they do make out and stuff like that. And the actors that are the romantic interests are actually brother and sister in real life.
Ew.
It takes the movie to an entire level.
That's wrong.
It's really, really gross. You can tell it's like very uncomfortable when they're like kissing each other.
That's almost I don't know what that's almost like.
You couldn't find any other actors in the whole world to play those two parts. Just switch two of the kids that are already in the movie. So.
Oh, that's
I like the one that's underneath it, Psycho Kickboxer.
Kickboxer.
And there's another one, Ninja Cheerleaders. That sounds awesome.
I just brought that up.
Oh, sorry.
There's too many ninja blanks or blank ninjas.
Yeah, because, you know, like, the 80s were all about ninjas and martial arts movies.
Yeah, we need more ninjas in movies these days. Hence why Uwe Boll just put them in the name of the king for no reason.
Actually, In the Name of the King would be a good addition to Awfully Good.
I hate you guys for making me watch Uwe Boll.
Well, if there's one, definitely watch it in the name of the king.
Yeah, well, you know, I did my 2 weeks. It was like, you know, it's like my penance for just being a terrible person or something. I don't know what I did to deserve Uwe Boll. But if I can survive Uwe Boll, I think you can survive Uwe Boll.
My mind's blown. George Takei's in Ninja Cheerleaders.
We just talked about it before.
I know, I got distracted and I'm like seeing a picture of him.
You
right
were like not listening. What?
I was distracted.
What the hell is Assault of the Killer Bimbos?
It was kind of like a road trip movie. These girls are like running from the cops. It wasn't very good. I don't remember anything particularly good about it.
Oh, that. I actually, I don't know if you've seen this, but this is a really stupid, like, dumbass movie. It's called Joysticks.
No, I haven't heard of that.
It was made in, I think, 83 when arcades were the big thing. And they thought, what can we do? Let's do a Porky's in like a video arcade. It's so dumb.
It's a sex comedy in a video arcade.
Yeah, it's pretty much like you've got the overweight fat guy playing the arcade and then like the really skinny girls showing their boobs all the time. It's really bizarre. It's like so badly acted. And it's so dark. Oh, it's... Yeah, that's another good one. There you go. This has like been the recommendation of really awfully good movies.
I have one more. This one's probably the epic one. Love Exposure. No, it's not like a bad movie. It's just like insane enough that it needs its own column on it. It's a movie Love Exposure.
It sounds like a porn.
It's a Japanese movie made by Sion Sono, who did like The Suicide Club.
Oh, okay.
And what you should know about this movie is that this movie is longer than Lawrence of Arabia.
Which Bede found out on the Movie Exchange Club when two people recommended he watch 4-hour movies.
Holy shit, 237 minutes.
But it's, like, completely insane. You have to watch this movie.
And doesn't, like, the opening...
Yes, the opening... Like, the title? The opening title, like, the title card for the movie comes within an hour in the movie.
Yeah, it's like Cold Fish, which is 2.5 hours, and the title screen comes in like at half an hour. And it's so freaking bizarre.
It has, like, this movie has everything. It has terrorism, martial arts, panty photography.
Randomly.
It is a Japanese movie.
Yes, it is. It's got, like, everything. So it's insane. You have to, like, watch it for the article.
I've come to realize that pretty much any Japanese movie is perfect for my column.
Yeah, like this one, Crippled Avengers. I've never heard of it, but it's called Crippled Avengers.
Crippled Avengers.
Crippled Avengers. I'll have to link you to this movie from 1978. Crippled Avengers.
I like this one, Bikini Bloodbath Car Wash.
Wow.
Like, I can just look at this list. I can look at this list and I know what I'm going to be watching in the future.
The director of Bikini Bloodbath Car Wash actually sent me a copy of that movie to review for my column.
What, awesome. He saw your column and he's like, can you review my movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. What sort of what kind of feedback do you get? Like, do people who are in these movies actually write to you, or what? Do you get sent stuff like you just said, or
what's... Have you seen Rock and Roll Nightmare? It's another hard rock horror movie.
No, you mentioned it earlier.
I actually got an email from one of the kids of that movie, and he was like, and we exchanged emails for a while, and then I kind of find out, like, I was kind of trashing the movie the whole time, like, yeah, haha, you must be embarrassed to be in this and stuff. And like around the fifth or sixth email, he was like, led to the fact that his stepdad was actually the guy that directed it.
Whoops.
And I was like, ooh, awkward. But he was pretty cool. He actually sent me a bunch of recommendations for other movies his dad directed that also sucked.
I've covered a few of those. What is this?
I haven't seen these two, but I just remember like the two most awesome scenes in each of them. That's like Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus and Shark Attack 3 Megalodon.
Shark Attack 3 is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That has like Mega Shark. Amazing scene. Where it has, like, that guy jumping off the boat and
just... Like, the shark, like, changes shark so around. Many sizes. It's crazy.
The girl riding the jet ski into the shark's mouth.
Yes.
And that, like, the lifeboat, and the shark just comes up and eats everybody in it all in one gulp.
It's
and,
like...
of course, it has, like, that amazing line. Oh, I'm wired. How about if I take you home and lick your pussy?
That's not the way he says it, but...
He was actually gay, the guy that said that line, which... He deserves a kind of Oscar for pulling it off.
Apparently, he came up with that line on the spot, apparently.
Yeah, because the chick was just terrible. But that's John Barryman seems like a really awesome dude.
And Mega Shark has, like, the scene where the shark jumps out of the water and eats the plane. And the guys in the plane looking out going, holy shit! Yes.
That's so shocking.
And I like this one here, Sharks in Venice.
Yes. Well, that one has a Baldwin brother in it. So
yeah.
Baldwin!
Is it Baldwin? Because that'd be awesome if he got eaten by a shark.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, damn.
Damn it.
But that was a movie where all the sharks were pretty much just... They just used, like, random footage from National Geographic specials. And then intercut it with, like, scenes from Venice. Like, just... like, tourist video from Venice. And then they called it a shark... movie.
Yeah. Wow. So, although it looks like we'll be getting a hell of a lot of shark movies now, because that's all they're making is like, oh yeah, let's do like shark movies. Yeah. It's kind of insane.
These pictures of the shark versus sharks in Venice are hilarious. This guy has the like the fakest looking beard I've ever seen.
Wow, this looks like quality, this movie I just found. The Naughty Stewardesses.
Stewardesses?
Yeah, and it says, go first class, you will love their takeoff. Wow. The naughtiness of the 70s. It's epic. Wow. Okay, I should get off these websites and stop looking at these movies. They're sort of all kinds of epic. All right.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think we'll probably just wrap up the show.
Let's cut it off here.
Our epic show of epic, awfully goodness. So I guess we should thank you, Jason, for finally coming on the podcast.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I hope it was very satisfactory.
It was. I'm spent. And I've got all these awesome movies to watch. So
yeah, same. What's so cool? We got the recommendations for your column.
Yeah, I thought you just schooled me in movies I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, see, you thought you were the professional, but then you found out. Maybe that's not the truth. yeah, and of course, thanks to Bede for being the co-host as usual.
Of course.
Yeah, and as always. Thanks to me for being so superly awesome. Yeah, okay.
So, and where can we find this week, Marcy?
Yeah, well, you can find me probably watching No Retreat, No Surrender all week, because I'm obsessed. I would marry that movie if it were possible. But really, you can find us at supermarcy.com, and you can go on Facebook and find Supermarcy, Super Podcast, rather, or Twitter, or wherever the bloody hell we are on the interwebs. Pretty much Supermarcy, if you Google that, you'll find everything you need to know. And Bede, where can people find you?
You can find me running my own bikini bloodbath car wash on a regular basis. And as well as you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BedeJamide, or check me out at my Facebook at facebook.com/BedeJamide, or my MSC page at moviefancentral.com/TerraStralis, or you can ask me questions about, like, why is it that Ninja Kids Phantom Force is the most awesome movie ever? At vu.com/BedeJamide. And of course, you see my weekly writings for both my movie song of the week and my recommendations of the week at Super Podcast. Supermarcy.com.
And Jason, where can people find you if you want stalkers?
If I want stalkers, well, you can look at the Awfully Good column, which is at joblow.com/digital. It's on the digital dorm. And click on features, and you can see like the whole list of movies I've done. Or Facebook at facebook.com/JasonPAdams.
What does the P stand for?
Do you want to take a guess?
Perfection.
Can I guess? Is it penetration angst? Because I just saw that title on there, and I just was amazed.
All right, we can end the podcast talking about Penetration Angst, which is the movie with the girl and the man eating vagina. the talking man eating vagina, like it whispers things before it eats guys.
What is it about talking vagina movie?
I remember a movie called Killer Condom, which I saw when I was younger, which was about
Jimmy
a man.
I was just talking about that movie. I met Jimmy O from Joe Blow for the first time. The first thing he says to me was like, "Have you done Killer Condom yet?" I'm like, "Can't say I have."
You'd be like, "No, I haven't done any Killer Condoms." So the P stands for penetration angst.
Penetration angst. Awesome. Yeah. My parents were just—they were forward thinkers.
And with that, that's a wrap. So catch you later, everyone.
See you, everyone.
Bye.